You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and someone is calling me. Shoot. All right, that wasn't supposed to happen. Okay, let me start that over again. Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am a psychoanalyst specializing in eating disorders, and I am here to help you break free from binging, guilt, the guilt that goes with binging, body shame, and diets that don't work. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. And if you would like to join me and call in with any questions, the number here is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, because the solution to binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the solution is not yet another diet. The key to change, permanent change, is to focus on what is eating at you and what is weighing on you. So give me a call and let's find a way to banish binging for good. How does that sound? Again, 323-203-0815. So today I'm going to talk about the three main reasons that we binge eat. But first, let me just say this. Everyone has their own idea about what binge eating is. I've heard people say they binged and they ate 4 cookies. Other people say they binged and they ate 40 cookies. So, binge eating, of course, is eating a larger than normal amount of food in a short amount of time, way past full, has nothing to do with hunger, and is usually followed by self-recrimination, self-hatred, and a vow to be better later. So most of us feel like we blame food when we are out of control with food. Kind of goes like this. Well, if I was drinking or smoking or something like that, I could just quit cold turkey, but I can't quit eating food. I need food to live. So I'm going to be stuck binge eating forever. But the truth is, food is not actually what is causing you to binge. Food is actually the solution to the problem. It is not the problem. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what actually causes you to binge and how to create change. But first, let me address some common misconceptions about binge eating. And that is basically, it's all about willpower. It's about food. I've already just said it ain't about food. And that diets help you control binge eating. A lot of people believe each of these things to be true. So actually, if you're listening and you're on Instagram right now, because I am live streaming the show on Instagram, if you're watching on Instagram, let me know which of those that you believe. Do you believe that in food addiction? Do you believe it's about willpower? Do you believe it's actually about food, that you're triggered by food? Let me know. So the reason for binging is predominantly psychological. Right? Sometimes we binge out of deprivation, but I'm gonna get to that in just a little bit. So the reason we binge is primarily psychological. So let's talk about the F word. F is in feelings. Our culture tells us that feelings are to be avoided. We are considered weak if we feel them, and strong if we push them away. And what are feelings? Feelings are mad, sad, happy, afraid, lonely, guilty, shame, vulnerable, helpless. So many different feelings. And there are so many injunctions against those feelings. So what do we do when we are human and feelings are just reactions to situations? So what do? Well, we can't positive think them away. We can't ignore them. We can't let them go. We can't drop them. We can't think about something else. That's when I hear a lot. People say they shared with someone that they were upset, and that person said, well, just think about something else. Oh, yeah, right. Like that would work. No, it doesn't work. And we cannot stuff them away. We cannot binge them away either. The only thing we could do is feel them. And by the way, why do we turn to food as a solution to something that is, you know, upsetting us? Because our very first experience with eating back when we were babies, back when we were infants, our experience with food was being held in someone's arms, feeling safe, feeling secure, feeling blissful and loved, and being fed. So on some level, food equals relationship in our psyche. We don't think about it like that logically or, you know, like consciously, but unconsciously, yeah, we talk about hungry for love, starving for affection. So many of our vernacular are the kinds of things that we talk about in our culture. They tie those things together. So anyway, okay, so three reasons you may be binging. And after I talk about this, I also have some other questions from listeners or viewers. If you would like a question that you want answered and you're on Instagram, feel free to drop them in the comments. You can also DM me on Instagram, or you can email me through my website. So one reason that we binge is actually the least common, but it is thought to be the most common, and that is that we binge out of restriction. So you know why you buy more during a sale? Because you don't want to lose out, right? Even though you don't need yet another pair of shoes, ooh, they're on sale. Am I the only one? Oh, they're on sale. Oh, I gotta have those before the sale stops. I can get them now. We want what we think we're not going to be able to have. So the anticipation or experience of deprivation always makes us want something more. If you think you can't have, oh, I don't know, anything with a carb, pizza, pasta, bread, cake, cookies, you know, whatever, you name it, whatever your forbidden food is, like I said, something with a carb these days. If you think you can't have that, then of course you are going to want that more. And then when you do allow yourself to have it, you're going to have a lot of it in the anticipation of future deprivation. And with our all or nothing thinking that often goes with this, it's, oh, I had this, the day is ruined, I might as well have it all. And there you go. That becomes a binge. So you know, when you forbid yourself from eating certain things, you are going to want them more. So that's one part of restriction, which is the psychological part of restriction and the actually restricting certain types of foods. The other reason that we binge has to do with not eating enough. When you don't eat enough during the day, by the time it's nighttime or by the time you finally do eat, you are going to be starving. You are going to be ravenous. And then when you start eating, sometimes you can't stop. So that's really a physiological reason for binging, which I would actually say is overeating rather than binging, because it's not motivated by something psychological. It's motivated by something physiological. So first reason for binging is deprivation and restricting. The second is turning emotional pain into physical pain. So often we feel hurt. We feel a great deal of emotional pain because of something that's going on in our lives. Someone hurts our feelings. Someone breaks up with us. Someone says something mean. We find out someone has betrayed us. There are so many reasons why we are in emotional pain. And if we do not have the resources to be able to support ourselves through that emotional pain, guess what? We often unconsciously turn it to physical pain by eating so much that it hurts. Because you know what? It is easier to get rid of physical pain than it is to get rid of emotional pain. Because we live in a culture that says, just think about something else. Don't feel that. Think about something else. Drop it. Ignore it. Positive. Think it away. So what do we do with our pain? Well, sometimes we convert it unconsciously into something physical. And now we're not thinking about our heartache. We're thinking about our stomach ache. And now we're not thinking about the situation we're thinking about that hurt us. We're thinking about being upset with ourselves. So that leads me to the third one, which is eating as a distraction. And this is actually the thing that I see the most in my clinical private practice, in my coaching programs, in people that call into the show or reach out to me. And that is distracting from something else. So again, we are conditioned to avoid our feelings rather than feel them. So when we experience something uncomfortable, something unpleasant, something upsetting, we turn to food to distract ourselves, to numb ourselves, and to focus on what we have just eaten rather than what is eating at us. So, example, let me change things around a little bit. Talked to someone recently and she said, "Oh, I am so mad at myself. I am so mad at myself. I'm eating all the things that I know are not healthy for me. I'm not binging, but I'm eating all the wrong things." And then also, because she is now past her, she's healed from binge eating disorder, but she's still dealing with some things that are going on in her life. So she's not binging, barely binging, but she's still, still working through some stuff. So she said she wasn't binging, but she's eating things that she knows just don't make her feel good, like just upset her stomach. And then she said, "I'm so mad at myself. Oh my gosh." And she said she was mad at herself because she made a whole list of things she was going to do that day and she didn't do them. So she said she was really mad at herself. She ate all these things she wasn't supposed to, or that, because it's bad for her. Basically, she's allergic to them. They make her feel terrible. And she didn't do the things on her list. So she's really mad at herself. So I said, "Well, if you weren't mad at yourself for what you ate or for not doing the things on your list, what would you be mad at yourself for?" And she thought a while, and it turned out to be a situation with her partner, a really upsetting situation. And it was so hard for her to be disappointed in her partner. It was almost unbearable for her to say how upset and disillusioned and almost to the point of maybe even wanting to break up with that person. If this person doesn't kind of like change their ways, it was easier for her to focus on food and focus on how she didn't do this, that, and the other than it was for her to focus on what's truly eating at her, which is the situation, that I just described in oblique terms. So eating as a distraction is often what we do. If we're mad at someone in our lives, but we don't feel good about being mad at someone, whether that is our partner, in this case, our boss, our friend, our kids, someone else that we really care about, and we're mad at them, it's easier to get mad at ourselves for eating or for what we weigh than it is to get mad at someone you also care about, right? And hello, Jose from New York. So good to see you. Jose is a brilliant designer. Oh my gosh, I love his clothes. They are so avant-garde and fabulous. And I still wear one of his jackets. Can't wait for it to be winter and I can wear his jacket and be super stylish. Yeah. Anyway, Jose, I'm glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. If anyone else has a question, please drop it in the comments if you're on Instagram. And I will get to it. So changing the way you eat will not change binge eating. This is why diets don't work. Diets work until we go off of them, but they are unsustainable. And diets don't focus on why you're eating. Diets focus on what you're eating. And diets separate you from your ability to eat intuitively and to say, to say to yourself, okay, what am I hungry for? And to start to know what that is. Because intuitive eating, which is, you know, something that we are all born with, but we lose the ability to know what's going on with us because we go on diets and diets say, don't eat that, eat this. And we stop being able to tune in on with our bodies. Kristen is saying, what's my issue? I need the discipline during the evening hours to make these changes. No, you don't need discipline, Kristen. You need curiosity. Discipline puts the focus on food. I will not eat that. I will not eat that, whatever that is. Instead, you have to be curious about what's eating at you. What would you be feeling if you weren't focused on food? I feel like I'm just binging away, then figuring out after the fact. Okay, that's okay. Let me briefly, in fact, that's normal. Not that I love the word normal, but in this case, it's normal. Let me just briefly go over the process of change. So the process of change, I wish it was just a switch that we could flip, like, boom, you're done. I don't have that switch, but I have a slow switch. Okay, so Kristen and everyone, this is the process of change. The first step is, I'm a food addict. I have no willpower. I have no control. I need discipline, something along those lines. The second step is, oh, maybe something is eating at me, but I have no clue what that is until I talk to you, Dr. Nina. Or, you know, it completely escapes me in the moment. I just can't stop. And then maybe later I look back and say, oh, I think maybe it was that. But I don't know until you help me or someone else helps me. The third step is you figure it out yourself. That you binge, and after you binge, you go, oh, I see what happened. I know why. I get it. And you're starting to learn, like, okay, these are my triggers. This is what's going on. This is what I have to deal with. The next step is, you know you want to binge. You feel it. You fight it a little bit, and you give in. You know why. You know why you want to binge. So you want to binge, you know exactly why. Oh, this is what's going on with me. I'm upset because of this, but screw it. I'm still doing it. Okay. Next step after that is you know exactly why you want to binge. And this time you do something different. This time you comfort yourself with words. This time you reach out to a friend or you take care of yourself, you comfort yourself with words instead of turning to food to abandon, escape, to go numb, to do whatever it is doing for you. And the last step is you don't even think about food because you have gotten so good at responding to yourself with words, which is what we do with friends. With friends, we don't say, you're upset. Oh, okay, look, let's order pizza. I got cookies in the pantry. I got ice cream in the fridge. I know, I got you, girl. No. No, we talk to our friends. So the last step is we talk to ourselves in a new way instead of turning to food. And food doesn't even become a thought. And that seems impossible when you're on this side of all of those steps. But that is the process. So don't expect yourself, Kristen, to be at step 5 when you're at step, say, 2. So if you're afterwards, you're looking back and going, oh, okay, I know what that was. That's great. That's an essential part of change. Keep doing that because eventually the next step is going to be, okay, I know why I want to binge. I'm still going to do it. And after that, I know why I want to binge. I'm not. I'm going to do something different. And then eventually, I don't even want to binge. I don't even think about it. And if that seems impossible to you, I'm here to tell you. I think it was Audrey Hepburn Audrey Hepburn said, there's an I'm an impossible. But Nelson Mandela said, "It is only impossible until it is done." Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in prison in South Africa during apartheid, who later became the president of South Africa. How impossible does that sound? Well, he did it. He changed the world. It is only impossible until it is done. Kristen is saying, "I feel my triggers are also situational, like habits." Yes, they are. Binging is a habitual response to something. That is why it is not a disease. It is not a forever thing. It is a coping strategy, a habitual coping strategy. It ends up hurting more than it helps, but it does something for you. It distracts you. And this is the of course, the main reason underlying binge eating. It distracts you from something going on inside. It distracts you from emotions, conflicts, which of course there are emotions around conflicts. A part of you wants this and a part of you doesn't want this. Oh, it's too icky to look at. So what should I eat? Or I feel lonely, right? I'm going to symbolically fill the void with food. That was, you know, under turning emotional pain to physical pain, that I talked about earlier, that's another reason why people eat so much is they feel lonely. They feel empty. They think often that they are feeling bored, but they're wrong. They are feeling empty, lonely. That's mistaken for boredom. Boredom is sort of an umbrella emotion, but often we think we're bored when we're actually lonely. The answer to boredom is to do something. You're bored? Do something. Of course, binging is something that we do. The answer to loneliness, which feels like a void within us, is to be with somebody in a satisfying, good way. But when there's no one around, we may symbolically fill up with food to fill the void. So I want you to be really curious about why you are eating. Instead of labeling it, oh, this is a habit. Yeah, it's a habit in the service of what? What are you resolving through this behavior? And it's hard to look at that because you're resolving something that is unpleasant. There's a whole reason you're binging in the first place. So it's to avoid looking at the thing that you have to look at. But the good news is that once you look at it, once you really deal with it, you're done. You are done. Binging is not something that you have to deal with the rest of your life. When you identify what's gone inside and respond differently to yourself, and when you go through all of those steps that I just outlined, the process of change, you are free. You are liberated. So what should you do instead? First, you got to really look at, well, why? Be curious, not critical. Critical is, oh my God, I can't believe I ate that. Oh, I'm terrible. I'm awful. I'm never going to change. I'm always going to be this weight. I'm going to always struggle. Something like that. Okay. Bye, Kristen. Thanks for joining. So critical is self-recrimination, self-hatred. I hate myself. I can't stand myself. Why do I do this? What's wrong with me? What's the matter with me? You know how that goes, right? That is not conducive to change. So to really create change, you've got to look at why. And that means being curious, not critical. Being critical is all the stuff I just said. Oh, I can't believe I did that. I suck. I'm never going to change. I'm never ever this. I'm always that. All those mean thoughts. Curious is, okay, what was going on with me? What was happening with me? Why did I do that? And sometimes you're going to be able to figure it out. And sometimes you're not, because sometimes we're triggered unconsciously. Sometimes there are hidden things going on that cause us to be triggered without us even being aware of it. That's why I developed my food mood formula to help you figure out what it is that you are feeling by what you are choosing to eat at any particular time. And again, very briefly, the food mood formula is, someone keeps calling me. Why is this happening? The food mood formula is, if you are turning to smooth, creamy foods, that's an indication that you need comfort. If you are using foods that are, that kind of take up space, bulky and kind of take up space within, pizza, pasta, bread, muffins, cake, burgers, you know, big food, that is a sign that you are filling a void. So you want to look instead at what are the voids in your life? What is missing in your life? And the third one is crunchy. And anything that makes you bite down hard, chips, crackers, nuts, all of that, that is associated with forms of anger. And often people will say, well, I'm not an angry person. No, you are a person who is angry. Anger is just an emotion. And by the way, forms of anger are frustration, irritation, annoyance, rage. And don't confuse being angry, which is just a feeling, with the expression of anger, which can be scary. So sometimes we're afraid to be angry because we associate that with yelling and screaming and hitting and violence and all kinds of things like that. No, anger is just a reaction to a situation. Now, what about chocolate? So chocolate is, you know, it fits one of those categories. Often we only like chocolate with creamy centers. That's the comfort category. Or chocolate with nuts in it. That's the crunchy category. As and dark chocolate has a bit of a crunch too. Now, what if it's candy but not chocolate? Well, see if it will fit one of those categories, and if it doesn't, look at whether you need more sweetness in your life. Do you need more sweetness in your life symbolically? So those are some things to think about. And if you need help with this, please go to my website and download the Food Mood Formula Secret. Go to my website at drninainc.com, drninainc.com. Or if you're on Instagram, the link is also in my bio. That will give you a free guide to help you get to why you are turning to food. If you can't figure it out, I will help you through the Food Mood Formula. So first you got to identify what's going on and use the food mood formula to figure it out if you can't. Then express what you are feeling, because often we make the mistake of going right to trying to make ourselves feel better. Oh, it's not that bad. It'll be okay. Things could be worse. Other people have it worse. What am I complaining about? I should be grateful. Yeah, no, not so much. Not so much with all of that, at least not right away. The mistake that so many people make is going right to trying to feel better instead of expressing how terrible it feels. So it's not enough to just identify, I'm mad at my boss. My boss is so nasty and difficult and demanding, for example. I know someone's on here who has that kind of a boss. So it's not enough to just say, I'm mad at my boss. You have to then express why you are mad and that you are mad. I'm so mad at my boss is very different from, I'm so mad at my boss. She this, she that, she did this. I can't believe she did that. Oh, she's so annoying. She makes me crazy, right? You're expressing it. I hate that she does that. She treats me like a slave. She doesn't appreciate what I do. Like, now you're explaining why you are mad at your boss. Hey, caller, hold on. I will be right with you. And then after you express that, right, Kylene? Kylene's on. She's like, oh, yeah. After you express that, you comfort yourself, which I will get to in a moment. Welcome, caller. Hi, you're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Jenny.
Jenny, oh my gosh, it's good to hear from you. It's been a while.
I know, it's been a while. Good to hear you too. I just wanted to ask you, I mean, there's a lot going on, but one of the biggest things going on right now is that I went for my annual doctor visit, you know, where they take all your blood tests and all that. And my cholesterol is considerably higher this year than it was last year. And so my doctor put me on like a little low cholesterol diet plan. And I have to say, I'm feeling like I'm lacking in something, feeling very irritable because I'm not able to eat, like, I guess these comfort foods, right, that I've been eating for the past year.
So you are feeling deprived. So the cholesterol, the diet is, even though it is there to help you with your cholesterol, with your blood work, it is still a deprivation and a restriction. And of course we want the things that we can't have. So if it's making you recognize how much more you want those comfort foods, that is a sign that you need to comfort yourself more with words and less with food.
Yeah. And I notice I'm going toward a glass of wine because I can't have, you know, dessert. So, which is not good also, but at least alcohol doesn't have cholesterol, I guess.
So what you need is actually, this is just perfect timing because the next step that, you know, what I was talking about is, well, what do you do instead? You identify what you're feeling, you express what you're feeling, and then you comfort yourself. So your call is really about, hey, if I can't comfort myself with food or a glass of wine, oh, what do I do? Therefore, perfect timing, because I'm about to just talk about, well, what do you do? And I know you listen all the time. You're familiar with the acronym VARY. You've got to vary your response to yourself instead of drinking or eating. Got to use the VARY acronym, which stands for, you know, validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. And to first, so let's just take a situation that's bothering you, even if it's this situation of worrying about cholesterol. Mm-hmm. So of course you, but maybe you have another situation. Anything come to mind?
I'm always worried about my mother, you know, she's always, you know, kind of a thorn in my side. You know, there's a lot of things to worry about, I feel like. And you know, I have noticed that, like, to soothe myself, I lean toward a glass of wine or, like, a kettle chip or, you know, a bag of kettle chips.
Okay, so I would say maybe there's a relationship with the mom stuff, who's a thorn in your side, your language, and kettle chips, which are crunchy and associated with forms of anger, frustration, annoyance, aggravation, irritation, any of those fit the bill when it comes to mom right now?
Yeah, for sure. All of those things.
Right. Okay. So, you know the oldest psychoanalytic joke in the world, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. Okay. So you are aggravated with your mother. And by the way, dads too. It's a terrible joke. I'll try not to say it again. Okay. Dads too. But in this case, Jenny, your mom is driving you nuts and she's driving you to kettle chips. And now you're talking about not being able to have chips or drink wine, or, well, I guess you are drinking wine. But really the problem is your mom and your feelings about your mom. So you want to say, yeah, of course I'm upset at my mom. She's doing, what is she doing? What is it that's driving you crazy?
Yeah, she's got a lot of mental health issues and physical health issues, and she doesn't want to take care of herself, and she expects, like, me to fix her, and I can't fix her. you know, she needs to fix herself. I mean, it's just a burden. It's a burden. It's exhausting, okay. Actually.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, so validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. Validate and acknowledge is, yeah, Jenny, of course you are upset. You have a mother who's self-destructive, yet wants you to take care of her. And I know from your calling the show in the past, she didn't do such a great job taking care of you. So now you've got to mm-hmm. take care of the mother who never took care of you, and she won't take care mm-hmm. of herself. And that leaves you feeling frustrated and upset and resentful. Of course you feel that way. How could you not? All right.
Yeah.
So you right. say that to yourself. Of course I feel this way. How could I not mm-hmm. given this, and this, and that, and that, and that. And you really get it out yeah. and you express it. And then that's when the reassurance comes in. I'm learning new ways of dealing with mom. I'm learning new strategies. It's her, you know, I her well-being is not my responsibility. I mm-hmm. am allowed to set boundaries, and I'm learning how to do that. And I'm proud of myself for that. Right. And yeah. the why stands for yourself. So like yeah. that's a process that you could go through rather than turn to chips or drink wine. And you could, mm-hmm. you know, say it to yourself, write it in a journal, call a friend, call the show, tell me. In fact, you could do it now.
Yeah.
No time like the mm-hmm. present. Why don't you say yeah. it?
I'm sorry, I lost you. What was that last statement?
I want to give you an opportunity for you to actually say that. Like I just gave you a sort of a script for how you would say that so you don't eat kettle chips and drink wine, but I want to give you yeah. the opportunity to say it.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything that I feel is valid and everything you say makes total sense. It all just makes sense, obviously. But, you know, kale chips don't taste as good as kettle chips, too.
Jenny, repeat yeah. after me. Of course I'm pissed at my mom. Just repeat what
of
I said.
Of course I'm pissed.
She's driving me okay. nuts.
She's driving me nuts.
She is not taking any responsibility for her own well-being.
She is not taking any responsibility for her own well-being.
And now I've got to take care of her. And now she expects me to take care of her when she won't take care of herself.
Yes, and now she expects me to take care of her when she won't take care of herself.
And she wants me to take better care of her than she has ever taken of me.
She wants me to take better care of her than she has taken of me.
I'm pissed and resentful and hurt.
I'm pissed and resentful. And it hurts.
Yes. And I'm working through yeah. it. And I'm learning how to resolve it. And I'm learning a new way of responding to her.
Yes, I'm trying to learn a new way of responding to her. You are little by little.
There's no try. Working. Try, there is not. There is no try. You are doing it. I'm learning a new way.
Okay, I'm doing it. Taking steps. The steps.
Yes. Yes. This conversation is a step.
Mm-hmm.
That's... So, yeah. So notice how when I said, hey, I want to give you an opportunity to do this for yourself, you went to, hey, kale chips are not as good as kettle chips, which is so true. But look at how you went to the chips rather than what's eating at you, which is, you know, the only way out, unfortunately, is through. And to say it and respond to yourself and then comfort yourself and reassure yourself in that order. That is what heals you, and that is what helps you through. How do you feel now?
much better. And like, I don't want to lean towards kettle chips, and I want to, you know, it's interesting now that you say that, I've been having this feeling that like I need to really take care of myself because my mom doesn't even ask me how I'm doing, you know? So, you know, it does make sense that I have this fear of like this cholesterol thing because I don't have anyone else asking about it, you know? So I really have to like I'm my own advocate. Like I just have to be, you know, mom, dad, all of those things. So after conversing with you, it makes me want to even more take care of myself and put myself number one.
Yes, I'm really glad to do that. I'm really glad to hear that. I'm really glad that this has helped you with that. And I would also say what you just said was very poignant and sad, that your mom doesn't even ask you how you are doing and you are struggling with this, you know, unpleasant cholesterol news. That's something you also want to vary. The fact that mom doesn't even ask you about you makes you feel hurt and upset. What would it like? How does that feel when you consider that?
Yeah, it makes me kind of feel invisible, you know, which is not a pleasant feeling.
What's the feeling of invisible?
I guess not worthy, maybe, or lacking worth to her.
What's the feeling associated with not with lacking worth to your mom?
I don't know, like an emptiness in my stomach, like a, you know, like an emptiness.
Okay, so emptiness in your stomach, I think, is a way you're describing a real void in your relationship. A painful
void, for sure. Yeah.
Yes. And that void cannot be filled with food or wine. You have to fill the void yourself by being to yourself what you never got from her, clearly.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's sad and it's hard, but
It is sad and it is hard. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to have a person called mother who is your mother, but doesn't treat you like a daughter, treats you like her mother. That's really hard. That's really painful. And remember that food represents mothering, which is another reason we turn to food when we're upset. So really doing some healing around that void and that anger and resentment, which are, you know, not actually two separate things, they're connected, and being the caring person to yourself that your mother wants you to be to her. I'm sorry, Jenny, that just
thank
sucks.
You for Thanks for talking it through with me. Thanks for talking me over the edge. Or off the edge. Over the edge.
Hopefully not over the edge. Was that a Freudian slip? I hope not.
Yeah. No. It's a Freudian slip. Thank you again. I appreciate it, Dr. Nina.
Thanks for calling, Jenny. Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So you see how when Jenny started talking about, about chips and wine, really the problem, what was eating at her, what is eating at her, is this very painful relationship with her mom. Painful and upsetting. So then what do you do instead of binge eating? You identify what you're feeling. Again, if you can't figure it out right away, it's okay. Just keep being curious, not critical. keep being a detective. What was going on with me? What was happening in my life? What would I be thinking about if I wasn't thinking about food? Then when you figure it out, and again, use my food mood formula if you need a little help, express what the feelings are. Express yourself. And then comfort yourself with words using the VARY acronym. Validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. And remember this, that practice makes progress. Okay, so I have some questions. This is from Elena or Elena. I'm not sure which way to pronounce it. So sorry, sorry if I butchered your name, Elena or Elena. She says, I don't know what I need to make peace with myself. How do I know what or why? Well, the first thing that you need to do is identify your inner critic. We are at war with ourselves when we are mean to ourselves. We are at war with ourselves when we are nasty, critical, judgmental, when we are self-hating, when we point out all the things we're doing wrong, all our perceived deficits, when we attack ourselves. That's being critical. And that means we're at war with ourselves. The other way we're at war with ourselves is to think about our bodies as the other. Like, I hate my body. Well, what's the I and what's the my body? Because guess what? There are not two of you. There's one of you. Your body is, you know, part of you. So recognizing some of the ways that you create a split is when it's our bodies and it's truly ours. This is our homes. This is where we live. We want to take care of our bodies. When our bodies, we're fighting our bodies and we're whipping our bodies into shape and we hate our bodies, that's the other. And that perpetuates this really nasty relationship. And when we're mean to ourselves, when we're at war with ourselves, we feel terrible. And when we feel terrible, we're going to use food to cope, because you cannot simultaneously be at war with yourself, say all these nasty things, and be nice. You can't tear yourself down and lift yourself up simultaneously. So Elena, I'll just call you Elena. Hopefully that's close enough. First, identify your critical voice. Start to notice when you're being harsh to yourself. Now, there's one way where you can often notice, and that's when you talk to yourself in the second person. When you say to yourself, why did you do that? Nobody's going to like you. You're disgusting. You're not saying, why did I do that? Nobody's going to like me. I'm disgusting, right? If you talk to yourself in you, that's your critical voice. And you want to look at, well, where did that voice come from? And how to challenge it? Would you say that to anybody else that you care about or love? I don't think so. So you have to start cultivating the ability to be to yourself as you are to others. So if you're kind to others, be kind to yourself. And making peace with yourself really means silencing that inner critic, or better yet, exorcising it from your mind, getting rid of it for good, so that really what's in your head is a supportive, encouraging, generous, kind part of you that is there with you. By the way, just one thing about loneliness. Loneliness is often the sense of being alone with yourself, but a nasty part of yourself or an absent part of yourself. If people aren't around and you feel lonely, and if people are around and you feel lonely, that's the worst loneliness, right? You can feel lonely in a group of people. That's terrible. You can feel lonely by yourself or with people, but the way to turn loneliness into solitude, which is being at peace with being alone, is to cultivate that supportive, kind, loving, more generous voice. You know, and that's how we turn loneliness into solitude. That's how we soothe ourselves. That's how we learn to feel better, when we are soothing, kind, supportive, and encouraging, then you don't need to eat to escape yourself. Binging is self-abandonment, essentially. But when you can stay with yourself in a kind way, everything changes. And that's when you get to the remember I earlier talked about the stages of change, and there are a lot of them, but the last stage is when you don't even think about turning to food when you're upset, because you have cultivated such an automatic and good workable way of responding to yourself. And when that happens, you have liberation, you are free, and you are feeling so much better in your life. You are feeling free. You can, you don't have to think about food all day. You can not stay out of the kitchen at night. You can just be in a relaxed and compassionate way of being in the world. That's freedom. That's liberation. That's what we're after. So that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show. I am here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. at LA Talk Radio, and also on Instagram, live streaming on Instagram. You can listen later at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.